Rank them 1 to 5. I've got the power. NFL Power Rankings.
All right, Denton. I mean, we could just essentially go with the five undefeated teams as top five. I mean, that's what we have left after 3 weeks, just five undefeated teams. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Kansas City, Minnesota, and Seattle. But are Minnesota and Seattle top five teams? I have a feeling you might think they are. I will wait on that for a moment. I'm going to go 1 to 5, all right, because I do think there's a debate this week on number one. But I'm going to leave the Chiefs at number one and put the Bills at number two. Buffalo's been incredibly impressive, but who have they beaten? The Cardinals, the Dolphins, and the Jags. You know, I want to see what they do Sunday night against the Ravens. I want to see what they do in a few weeks. They have three straight road games, Buffalo, Houston, and the Jets. You know, I want to see what they look like in November when they go back-to-back Chiefs and 49ers. I want to see what they look like when they play the Lions and the Jets almost, you know, in 2 out of 3 weeks late in the season. I mean, there are tougher weekends coming for the Buffalo Bills. I do like what I've seen from them, and it certainly sounds like Josh Allen prefers kind of distributing the ball to a bunch of different guys than having one guy, that one guy would be Stephon Diggs, screaming that he needs to get the ball. I think he completed passes against the Jags, a game we didn't even talk about, to 10 different receivers in the game. There were 10 different receivers who caught at least one ball in the game. But until they play somebody, I can't make them number two. I keep KC at number two. At number three, I know that they lost another game and they are 1-2. And maybe for the first time in the history of the power rankings, I'm going to have a 1-2 team in the top three. But I still think fully healthy, and they're not. The 49ers are in the conversation as the best team in the league. So I am putting the 49ers at three. I'm not going to shy away from this week. They may be the best defensive team in the league. They have a playmaking quarterback. They have an excellent coach. I know that, you know, the 9-8 records under Mike Tomlin have looked ugly in recent years. I think there's something different about the Steelers. I think Pickens is legit upper tier as a receiver. I'm putting Pittsburgh into my top five at number four. I could easily be proven wrong on Sunday because I'll tell you what, I think the Colts may be the right play based on the point spread. But I really think there's something different about the Steelers this year, not because they're 3-0, but because they're so dominant, so disruptive defensively, and they're much more capable offensively. And then number five, even though they just got their first win of the year, I've got another 1-2 team in my top five, the Baltimore Ravens. I'm not ready to put Minnesota or Seattle ahead of the Ravens. I put Pittsburgh ahead of the Ravens. I understand that. But I'm keeping the Ravens and 49ers in my top five, even though they have losing records. The Ravens looked awesome against the Cowboys. They are going to be just an absolute... I didn't feel this way last week. I thought this was the key game, the Dallas game. And they went in and they bludgeoned Dallas with, you know, what they are. And that is a physical, you know, a mean-spirited at times team when they're backed into a corner. I love that about the Ravens. Who the hell's going to stop Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson on any given day? Certainly not Dallas. So I've got Baltimore at top five, at number five. It's a tough top five to put together. I acknowledge that. I think the top two, put them in any order you want, are kind of obvious after 3 weeks. But I'll let you give me yours now.
Give me your number one team again. Was it Kansas City or Buffalo?
I went with KC still at number one.
So you went
Buffalo
KC
has
one.
Not played anybody. And KC, let's face it, they beat Baltimore, they beat Cincinnati, whatever Cincinnati is, and I think they beat a decent Atlanta team on the road on Sunday night. Buffalo's beaten nobody.
All right, so ours look way different. So I do have Buffalo at number one, and it's the reason that you said, or one of the points that you made about them in that game that we did not talk about because our team played on Monday night, but the way that Josh Allen is distributing the ball, that, when I watch him, is kind of him unlocking the next level. Obviously, having a guy like Stephon Diggs on the team would be wonderful. I still questioned who is going to be their number one guy. Like, we need a big catch. Who's it going to go to? But the fact that they're distributing the ball the way that they are, I think that's the next step in Josh Allen's evolution, and one of the reasons why, at least in the very early and very, very early portion of the season, he's looking like the front runner for the MVP. So I have the Bills just slightly ahead of Kansas City as my number one, with Kansas City being number two. Here's where things get wonky, Kevin, and we get a little wild. I have the Jets at number three. I think we're starting to see Aaron Rodgers get back into Aaron Rodgers mode. We remember, like, that week one performance, which wasn't great but wasn't bad. That was the first time he played football in about 365 days.
And looked good throwing the football. They just didn't have the football that
much. They didn't have the football that much. So I like what I've seen from them in the ensuing weeks. They just need to get more of Garrett Wilson involved. Because you love him. I love him. Garrett Wilson is a really good wide receiver in this league. Getting him more involved. But as the defense gets more comfortable, like, there are some things on this Jets roster that I really, really like. And then the two-headed monster, Breece Hall and Braylon Allen, that could be very, very damning for teams in the AFC. On top of that, it looks like, you know, there's going to be two teams in their conference with the Patriots and Dolphins that are not very good, which means it will just be them and the Bills kind of jockeying for a position in the AFC East, which could be really fun. But I have right now the Jets at number three, and I'm going to do it. I got Minnesota at number four, but it has nothing to do with their offense. You know, Sam Darnold has played very, very well. There's no denying that. Justin Jefferson has played very, very well. There's no denying that. He's the best wide receiver in football. But damn, Brian Flores got a defense, man. I mean, they're allowing 10 points per game, and they held Houston, a really, really good offense with a ton of weapons, to 7 points. They made C.J. Stroud look pedestrian. After he big brothered Caleb Williams, they made him look like Sam Darnold's little brother. The way that defense is flying around, like, a lot of attention being paid to Pittsburgh, and they should, because Pittsburgh has, you know, obviously TJ Watt, and they got a bunch of, I would say, more household names on defense, although not a ton. But I think Minnesota, the way that they play defensively mixed with what they've done on offense, has been incredibly impressive. But I do have Pittsburgh rounding out my top five. So I don't have any San Francisco. I don't have any Baltimore in here. I liked what Baltimore did against Dallas, but the end of that game made me a little nervous, maybe scratch my head a little bit, because traditionally I don't feel like Baltimore is a team that, when they get up 28 to whatever, is going to let the other team get back in the game, and they did. So that made me a little nervous, which is why I have them on the outside looking in. But I got Minnesota at four and Pittsburgh at five to round out my top five.
Do you know how many yards the Chargers had in the second half against Pittsburgh? Minus five.
That's insane.
Something I read, I think it was last night or early this morning, about Minnesota. It's really interesting. And I had them very close. I had the Jets also close, and I had Detroit still close to my top five. I did not consider Washington for my top five. I considered them, but we got to see a little bit more. But Kevin O'Connell, who is the head coach and really the offensive guru and play caller, Brian Flores mentioned that some of the blitzes that they're using, Kevin O'Connell's actually designed. He's like, they have a really good relationship, and Kevin will text me every once in a while and say, hey, what do you think about this kind of this blitz? And Brian's like, love it. We're putting it into the game plan this week. That's a really good coaching situation to have, because there are a lot of NFL teams that have essentially divided house. I'm not saying in terms of, you know, conflict, but, you know, defensive guys are over here, offensive guys are over here. Hey, we'll see on Sunday, basically. We'll see at practice. And even coaches. I mean, Joe Gibbs and Richie Pettibone during, you know, the glory years, Joe handled the offense, Richie handled the defense. I mean, they didn't, you know, Richie didn't go to Joe asking for ideas and vice versa. They just trusted in each other. But these guys communicate, and Kevin O'Connell, you know, Cooley once told me, Sean McVay said this too, but Cooley told me that the best offensive minds in football coached defense at some point, and he had always recommended to anybody in coaching that if you want to be an offensive coordinator, you know, you want to be a play caller, you've got to coach a couple of years on defense. That's the best way to become the best offensive mind. I don't know that Kevin O'Connell's ever been a defensive coach. I don't think he has. But I think Sean McVay said the same thing at one point. McVay's had a lot of different, you know, coaching jobs, and before he finally, you know, got a break here in terms of a real position coach. But how about that? I mean, they are rolling defensively. We know that defense has more variance year to year. It even has variance within a year. And you don't have a league anymore, really, where just a dominant defense with a subpar offense can win the Super Bowl. It can get to the postseason. It can maybe win a game. But Minnesota and Pittsburgh have dominant defenses here through the first 3 weeks. And they've got offenses that are, in Pittsburgh, much improved. In Minnesota, they've picked up where they left off when you know who got hurt last year, because they were rolling at that point. But you know who else is very good defensively? Seattle's played very well defensively so far. There are a couple of really good defensive teams early in the season, but Minnesota, Pittsburgh, maybe the Chargers have been the most impressive. I'm pulling up DVOA rankings.
Well, you want to talk about playing nobody, though. Seattle has played nobody.
True. DVOA. Minnesota 1, Seattle 2, Chargers 3, Pittsburgh 4, New Orleans 5. You don't really have to spend much time to think of who 32 is. You know, one of the things that I didn't mention yesterday when talking about Washington's historically awful defensive start is not only are they the number 32 ranked defense out of 32 teams per the DVOA metric at this point, it's not even close. There are 13 percentage points between them and the Rams, who are 31. What is that? That is such a massive statistical difference. Usually the difference between, you know, say 23rd and 22nd, or 9th and 8th, or 32nd and 31 is like a couple of percentage points, but usually it's like less than 1%. There's 13% difference between the worst defense in the NFL, Washington, and the 31st ranked defense in the league. It's bad. It's got to improve, or they're going to, you know, people say, well, why wouldn't, if Jaden was so good, why weren't they in the playoff? Well, because they had a terrible defense. It's actually remarkable that they won the games that they won against some of the teams that they beat with the defense that they had. And here he is as a rookie in the NFL with, once again, an absolute train wreck of a defense through three games. He's going to have to carry this team. A lot to put on a rookie quarterback when you are not getting any short field opportunities. They got one courtesy of the Eckler kickoff return. And you basically need to score on every single drive. The last two games, as we know, they haven't punted. And you could make the case that if they punted once in each game, they would have lost both of those games. That's not a good position to be in. If they had punted once in the Giant game, they probably would have lost the game. If they had punted once on Monday night, they probably would have lost the game. That's crazy town. I mean, punting once in an NFL game with no turnovers should be an absolute guaranteed W. And if they had punted once against the Giants and punted once against Cincinnati, they'd be 0-3. They literally had to score every single time they had the ball, and they did for two straight games. Will it happen on Sunday? Will it need to happen? Arizona's pretty explosive offensively. How many times are they going to get stopped? This is where takeaways become so crucial. By the way, penalties become really big also. You've got to figure out a way, if you can't do it yourself, that the refs help you out or that the other team self-destructs. We've had one turnover, one takeaway in three games. It was a legitimate takeaway, too. It was forced. It was the Benjamin St. Juice punch out. We needed that and no punts to win the game. They're going to have to, and I say they're going to have to because I'm assuming that it isn't going to dramatically improve because of the personnel. That maybe there's some improvement coming, but it's not going to be dramatic improvement, which means they need takeaways somehow. They need the other offense to self-destruct. Kyler Murray and Arizona are capable. We've seen it in the last couple of years of really playing a bad game and playing a dumb game. But they haven't so far this year. They've looked pretty in sync offensively. All right, when we come back, Denton will have a college football weekend preview. We've got the biggest game of the year Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.